Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee of Prevent Connect, and I am pleased this morning to be able to speak with Joe Ehrman, who has recently written a book called Inside Out Coaching, How Sports Can Transform Lives. So how are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing great, David, and wonderful to be with you.
Great. Well, I'm really glad to get a chance to be able to speak with you about the work that you're doing and your new book. And I've seen you speak several times, and we had a time in San Francisco where I got to see you talking with a wide range of coaches, and I was really impressed with the way that you're able to talk about the language of sports and also talk about transformation and social change, which really includes as a key element of it dating violence and sexual violence prevention. And so that's the work that I have found quite exciting. And you talk a lot about being a transformational coach versus a transactional coach in your book. And can you talk about what being a transformational coach is?
Let me tell you, a transactional coach, that's a coach that kind of coaches from a quid pro quo with their players. It's usually based around the coach's needs. If that player meets the coach's need, then that coach will meet the external needs of playing time, popularity, some kind of praise. Transformational coaches understand they have an almost unparalleled platform, power, position in the lives of young people, and they're going to use that to change the arc of every young person's life. Or they want to transform, they want to add value, build character, and make a difference with their coaching in communities, the country, and around the world.
Why is sports such an important piece? I mean, I remember you saying that in some ways sports is the secular religion of our country.
When you think about it, sports will engage more individuals, more families, more communities in a shared activity than any cultural activity, organization, or religion in this country. It has become the secular religion. And the high priests of that religion are these coaches that have this incredible amount of power and influence over the lives of young people. So in my own journey, I came to the conclusion first that perhaps the greatest crisis in America is the crisis of masculinity. And then I determined that there might not be a better place to help reformulate masculinity, redefine that, than through sports and coaching.
Describe the crisis of masculinity that you talked about. What do you see as that crisis?
Well, the crisis is that basically there is no clear and compelling definition for young men or for men in this culture. We get fed all kinds of misinformation about what it means to be a man. The cultural messaging today, you know, is 24/7. So every boy in America is fed three fundamental lies about what it means to be a man. The first they learn by the time they're 8 and 9 years old, and that is that somehow in this culture, we associate masculinity with athletic ability, size, or strength, or some kind of skill set that allows you to compete on that playground. The second lie, and boys in America learn this by the time they're in junior high school, is that masculinity is somehow associated with issues of sexual conquest. What's it mean to be a man? It means you can use girls to either validate some kind of masculine security or use them to gratify some kind of physical need. There's a power and dominance that plays out there. And then the third lie is in this country we measure manhood based on economic success, as though you can measure what a man is based on his job title, position, power, the amount of possessions someone has accumulated. I could take those three lies and tie that into every social problem in America, from boys with guns to girls with babies to immorality of boardrooms across this country and the beatdown that women take in America.
And that clearly ties into the issues that our Prevent Connect audience is really interested in, is how to be able to prevent sexual violence and dating violence. You make that an integral part and element of the work that you do. Can you describe a little bit about that?
The first thing I had to do was get some kind of purpose. I had to understand why I was coaching as a transformational coach. So once you understand your why, you can deal with any how. So my purpose as a coach is to help boys become men of empathy and integrity who will lead, be responsible, and change the world for good. Once I determined why I was coaching, then that gave me the capacity to take all of my drills, my interaction with players around my purpose. So we define masculinity by two things. One is relationships. Being a man is all about the capacity to love and to be loved. The end of your life, it's the relationships are what's going to matter most. The second thing of what it means to be a man is to identify some kind of cause, some kind of purpose in your life to make the world a better place. All of us have this responsibility to give back. So in our coaching program and my philosophy, if masculinity is about relationships, commitment to a cause, then how do you define a team? A team is nothing more than a set of relationships for a cause. There's a common purpose, there's a work ethic, performance goals and objectives, as well as being built on the trust, respect, and integrity of every team member. And the second thing it's about commitment to a cause, bringing heart, mind, body, and soul to that. So in my opinion, there's not a better place, perhaps, to help boys become men, defined by relationship and commitment to a cause, than through sports. And so what's it mean to be a coach? You teach players how to develop relationships, and you help them discover some kind of cause in their life to give back, to make the world more fair and hospitable to every human being.
Now, when I was reading your book, Inside Out Coaching, I really enjoyed reading the book. And in the first part of it, you're talking about your own transition or transformation to becoming a transformational coach and some of your history as a athlete and as a coach and, you know, and as a man and growing from a boy into a man. And you do talk about that you were sexually assaulted when you were 12 years old. And can you talk about how that helped propel you in the direction that you were moving forward?
Yeah, certainly. I would say there are two defining moments. One, I grew up with a very angry, abusive father. And while he was absent most of the time, there was tremendous domestic violence in the home. Grew up with that violence and that fear as a young child. And then at the age of 12, I was brutally beaten and raped as a 12-year-old prepubescent boy. Both of them gave me this tremendous sense about my own insecurity, insignificance, question about my own manhood. So as a big, tough kid in a tough neighborhood, I had all this athletic ability, and athletics became a way for me to validate my worth as a human being and my masculinity. So I thought I could prove I was a man every time I knocked the guy down in front of me flat on his back. Boy, every time you conquered some kind of woman, every time you achieved some rung on this societal measurement ladder of success, I continue to think that's what being a man was all about. All the time being filled with this pain, this grief, this tremendous sense of shame about who and what I was. That paralleled, or that transformed really my childhood, which I lost at a very early age and made me on this quest, trying to validate through the false concept of masculinity my own manhood.
And in the book you describe how interesting, a series of coaches helped lead to that transfer. And, of course, you've had many transactional coaches who were out for that quid pro quo to be able to accomplish. But there were some ones that really did that transformation. So I see, you know, Coach Abernathy and Coach Simmons as examples that helped you begin to think about this differently. Can you describe about that, those changes?
Yes, certainly. You know, in preparation for the book, I created a graph for every coach I ever played for. I played for coaches from the ages of 10 to 36. And then I graded them whether they were transactional or transformational. What was the developmental need I had that was either ignored or was affirmed and, you know, moved along. So I had a group of men in my life that just looked me in the eye. They validated my inherent value and worth. They saw my human potential. They saw me in a way that the trauma and the wounds of my own life didn't allow myself to see. So they were these extremely transformational. As I look back as a 62-year-old man writing this book, boy, I see the change at every step. There was some kind of coach. There was some kind of mentor. There was some kind of male figure in my life that in the midst of all of the craziness and the trauma I'd experienced, that kept me focused and moving toward a proper goal and direction in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I found actually the book quite hopeful in thinking about the potential and the reality of how many men and coaches and mentors out there who can and actually have made differences Might not be all, but there certainly are many.
Oh, there's tremendous numbers of people doing it right, but the coaches in sports have to be seen or become an ally with the whole gender violence movement. Boy, when you talk about the ending gender violence, we need to raise up a generation of men that are going to learn how to stand up and show up and speak up on behalf of girls and women. And if every coach, when that child started playing T-ball at the age of 5 and 6, moved through the Little League, junior year, high school, boy, if coaches were given this message about how to treat and respect, how to overcome the sexism, understanding their role as advocates, allies with girls and women, that on any team you can never be a bystander, boy, then we would start raising up a generation that would bring this gender violence to a conclusion in many venues and areas in this society.
You know, I mean, for me as a parent, I had so many transactional coaches, and so I couldn't imagine my 6, 7, 8-year-old playing soccer and baseball having those coaches. So I, with no athletic ability whatsoever, felt the compulsion to have to coach to be able to at least have that vision of a coach that's going to be around a different set of values. And I just know the importance that can play in young children's lives, and in probably even more so as they continue.
Oh, I think, coaches are one of the most influential adults in the lives of every young person. And the younger they are, the more influence you have as a coach. So we need to be delivering these age-appropriate messages, because 5, 6, 7-year-old boys, they've already received the 3 scariest words that every man in their life receives, and that's being told to be a man, which almost always means to stop the tears, stop the emotion, don't show feelings, deny, repress, separate your heart from your head. So even at that age, boy, we need coaches that are going to affirm the emotions of boys and men, give them permission to emote, to develop a vocabulary to express those words. Because here's where the problem begins. When men don't understand their own feelings and emotions, they'll never be able to understand the feelings and emotions of another human being. If you don't understand your own feelings, what causes them, you'll never understand how your words and actions are impacting another human being. And what we have in this country is basically an empathy deficit syndrome. We have all these men disconnected from their hearts or emotion, and that's the precursor to bullying, to dating abuse, to gender violence, to violence in America. So there's this incredible tool that can be used, and all we need to do is educate coaches and get them healthy enough to move from transactional to transformational.
Well, you know, you really do discuss how coaches and call on coaches to become agents of social change, and which is probably different than what the mission that a lot of people think they're signing up for when they become coaches. And I think that really aligns with the work that we're doing, trying to be able to prevent sexual violence and teen dating violence, is that we know that that work is related to so many other issues and that we need to be able to address that. While you do talk about dating violence and sexual violence prevention, you're also talking about racial justice. You're talking about addressing homophobia, and that you're looking at the wide range of issues that face young people today.
I grew up right at the convergence in the 60s of the civil rights movement, the human rights movement, the whole war on poverty. I think as a nation, we started to ask all the right questions about what is the role of race and class and gender and sexual orientation as it speaks to the inherent value and worth of every human being. But we haven't quite answered those questions yet in this society. And I would hope that under the leadership of wise mentor coaches, of kind of men that understand masculinity, we raise this next generation to start eradicating all of these problems, which really comes out of this deep shame-based sense of masculinity that most men carry around.
What message would you want to give to sexual violence prevention and domestic violence prevention educators on how some of the work that you're doing might help inform how they can better be able to get those prevention messages out to their community and make a change in their communities?
First, I'd like to thank them for their work. Well, I've been in that culture for a while, and it's plowing concrete every day. Those people have my utmost admiration and respect. Second, I think we need to start reaching out across those athletic fields to coaches. I think the gender violence people, advocate, preventionists have this tremendous information, and one of the best disseminators of that information could be coaches. So there needs to be this partnership. We need to be able to align the language of the gender violence field with such a thing as a typical coach. We need to align the information and then provide the training and the teaching. This year we're filming. We do a whole week on gender violence before the homecoming dance. We take 10 minutes before every practice and we speak to how our players, as men in our team, are going to treat their dates. So we take them through guided meditations. They have written assignments. They have to sign a pledge that as a man, they never feel powerful when others are powerless. And then on the day of the game, we'll take four parents off of our team, two moms and two dads that not only have adolescent sons, but also have adolescent daughters. Each of them will get 5 minutes to address our team on how much they love their daughters and how they expect them to be treated on the date. You know, I wrote the book, Inside Out Coaching. I hope it's a bridge that will start unifying these tremendously important segments of our society. And, boy, teach coaches how to be advocates and allies, making sure that there's no boy on their team is ever a bystander to gender violence in their lifetime.
And I've been talking with Joe Ehrman, who has recently written the book Inside Out Coaching, How Sports Can Transform Lives. And I think that really serves as a really effective bridge of those different vocabularies of the different worlds of the gender violence prevention world and the sports world. And I think you give a wonderful lens to be able to look at this. And there's many programs like Coaching Boys into Men and other programs that have begun to start exploring how we can do this. And I really think it's a great opportunity. How would people be able to get this book if they wanted to check it out, Joe?
Well, it's at every bookstore. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble's. And my website is coachforamerica.com.
I appreciate you taking a few minutes to speak with me. And I really enjoyed reading the book and really respect the work that you've been doing and look forward to being able to keep in touch with you and we continue this process to be able to move towards social justice and using sports as a mechanism to transform our society. So thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.